It's the Central Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Transgender Pennsylvanians face challenges when it comes to healthcare access, legal assistance, and workplace discrimination. Several leaders in the Commonwealth are trying to address these issues through legislative action and resource allocation, and are involved in a transgender rights discussion taking place in Pittsburgh today. I'm joined now in studio by Dr. Rachel Levine. She is Pennsylvania's Physician General and is joining us now in studio. Dr. Levine, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Also with us is Representative Dan Frankel of Pittsburgh's 23rd District. Representative Frankel, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Paul.
You can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is ESSPGH at WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH. Are you or is someone you know a transgender person? What challenges have you or they faced? Again, the number 412-246-2002. Dr. Rachel Levine, I'd like to begin with you. You are Physician General for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. You are also a transgender woman. How have your personal experiences informed your work and your efforts advocating for transgender rights?
Sure. So, you know, I'm very pleased and proud to be part of Governor Wolf's administration. It's important to note that I was not nominated to this position because I am an openly transgender woman. I was nominated because of my professional qualifications. And to their great credit, the state Senate confirmed me in June of 2015 based on my professional qualifications. At the same time, I realized that this is a unique opportunity, and I am very pleased to be an advocate as well as a mentor and maybe a role model for the LGBT and specifically for the transgender community. So we are working very hard in the Wolf administration under Governor Wolf's leadership on non-discrimination efforts. As you know, Governor Wolf signed two executive orders and for non-discrimination, and there are other efforts in the administration to protect the rights of LGBT individuals and including transgender individuals. And I'm very proud to be part of those efforts.
And the governor, and in fact, we broke the news on this very program. He announced it on Essential Pittsburgh that he was going to be signing an executive order providing LGBT protections to all state employees, of which I'm assuming you are one.
That is correct.
And so this covers you. And so I'm wondering how it felt to know that the governor, and you probably knew this before he announced his intentions to sign this legislation, but what it means to you to be part of an administration that is looking out for people in the way that
Absolutely.
He is.
Absolutely. I am so gratified and proud to be part of Governor Wolf's administration. I have a great job as I have an absolutely fantastic boss.
Now, what are the challenges that are faced by transgender individuals in today's society in Pennsylvania? As I think many people know, and we'll get to the legislation that is being proposed that Representative Frankel supports. But right now, there are no protections for people based on their sexual orientation, based on the sexual identity that they have, to protect them in the workplace. So you can be fired based on your sexual orientation or sexual identity. You can be denied housing based on this. This poses a lot of difficulties for transgender people, for LGBT people in the state of Pennsylvania. And what are some of the day-to-day things, Dr. Levine, that citizens ought to know about that people go through and the ways in which they are discriminated against in day-to-day life?
Yes. So transgender individuals do continue to have high levels of discrimination, a lot of which, you know, might be unnoticed and unreported. For example, they face discrimination in healthcare. It is still, unfortunately, not uncommon for maybe a healthcare provider or a clinic or a hospital to deny care based upon someone's gender identity or expression that they're transgender. They might face discrimination in schools. They might be fired or lose their job. They might not be able to get housing. When I transitioned about five or more years ago, I was extremely fortunate to be at the Penn State Hershey Medical Center. Penn State Hershey at that time had a non-discrimination act that had included sexual orientation, but then based upon basically my case, they added gender identity expression to their non-discrimination policy. And you know, I was accepted, and more than that, welcomed for the diversity that it brought to the institution. But unfortunately, that's not true throughout Pennsylvania. And people can be fired, they can lose housing, and face discrimination in healthcare, in schools. And so it highlights the importance of this comprehensive non-discrimination legislation that's being discussed in the legislature.
And Representative Dan Frankel, talk about the importance of this legislation, who it will help, and where things stand with this in the discussions in the legislature that are ongoing right now.
Well, the legislation amends the Pennsylvania Human Relations Act, which currently provides civil rights protections for people on the basis of their age, their race, their gender, disability, religion, creed, and expands those protected classes to include people on the basis of their sexual orientation, gender identity, and expression. Now, what's interesting about it is that, you know, we don't have this protection statewide. 23 other states do. The entire northeastern quadrant of the country does. We're the exception. But while the state hasn't acted, many local governments have, local ordinances that provide these protections. And as Dr. Levine cited, lots of healthcare organizations like Hershey, but also the corporate community has most of the Fortune 500 companies in Pennsylvania provide these protections to their employees. So what we believe is that we need to have a statute that takes care of every Pennsylvania and eliminates the last vestige of what is really a legalized discrimination.
There are those expanded protections in Allegheny County. We have it. So it goes county to county. In Allegheny County, if I were a transgender individual, my rights would be protected. If I were in Beaver County, they would not.
Correct. That's right. And it's a business issue as well. I mean, the business community has embraced this because they believe that Pennsylvania needs to be perceived and it be in reality a state that embraces diversity and is a tolerant state. And so you see not just individual businesses, the Pittsburgh Chamber of Commerce, the Philadelphia Chamber of Commerce have all endorsed this legislation because they believe that not only is it the right thing to do, but it's a good thing to do for the economy of Pennsylvania as well.
How is it legal? How is it that you can deny somebody housing or a job or schooling or healthcare to be turned away from a hospital on the basis of your sexual orientation, your sexual identity? That seems to be so odd in the 21st century. Yeah. I mean, from purely from a legal standpoint, how can the state of Pennsylvania, how can this be tolerated?
Well, you know, historically, we've seen it throughout, you know, our history. We've marginalized women through our laws over the years. We've had Jim Crow laws and segregation laws. A lot of those things have been justified by, you know, all kinds of, you know, religious liberty issues that we see play out here in terms of opposition to this legislation. So this is, you know, another stage in the civil rights movement, really the last stage. And you're right. I mean, it is just hard to believe. And when you poll many Pennsylvanians, they don't believe that this actually can happen here. But it can, and it does, and we have many instances of it. And the trans community in particular is the most vulnerable of the populations, quite frankly. And Dr. Levine talked about some of the issues that they face. But when you take a look, 25% of transgender individuals have lost their jobs. 20% have been homeless, 20% have been denied health care, and 70% have been harassed in a restroom.
Now, there is the issue, the people who oppose this, one of the things that they bring up is the matters of quote-unquote religious freedom. What is that exactly? What are the concerns there? And I'm sure you've had conversations with people about this. So what is being said to you, those that oppose this?
Well, people believe that some people believe that because of their religious beliefs, they should be able to deny either service. You know, if you're the classic case that we look at is the baker who doesn't want to bake a wedding cake for a same-sex couple. And we've had the Hobby Lobby company that, as well, that has said they don't want to incorporate these types of protections for their employees. So the question is, is that a legitimate expression? And we don't believe it is. There is a religious exemption in the statute as it is that allows churches, parochial schools, the ability to limit employment for people who teach, religious classes or who are ministers to be able to discriminate. But we don't believe it should go any further than that, ultimately, that we have to have a statute that makes businesses responsible for serving everybody. I mean, it's the same thing as the lunch counter discrimination that you saw in the South. You know, the Jim Crow laws that allowed separate but equal services, whites only, water fountains. We shouldn't have to have businesses being able to say we're only going to serve one segment of our community and not another. That's not right. We dealt with that when we got rid of Jim Crow laws and segregation. This is really the same thing. We need to have this legislation so that we get past it.
And so with regard to the conversations that have been taking place in the legislature, what kind of opposition is this facing on the floor of the House where you work? Is there a chance that we might see something finally get passed out of the legislature on this?
Well, the good news is that it's moved a great deal. So I've been introducing this for more than a decade, and when we first introduced it, there were a handful of co-sponsors to the bill. Today, there are more than 80 members of the House, including Republicans and Democrats, who are co-sponsors of the bill. And in the Senate, we have nearly half, 24 members of the state Senate, including Republicans and Democrats as well. So we have a lot of public support for it. The problem is that we need Republican leaders in both chambers to be able to facilitate these bills moving to the floor. Unfortunately, in the House, the Speaker who assigns bills to committee has signed this piece of legislation, which is House Bill 1590, the Pennsylvania Fairness Act, to a committee chaired by an active opponent of civil rights generally and specifically for the LGBT community. And in the Senate, we're having conversations. We're having a more receptive response from the Senate leaders, but we're still not able to get it. We feel that if we get this legislation to the floor of the House, we'll have a very good chance of getting it passed.
There is a Dauphin County Republican Senator, Mike Fulmer. I'm sure you are familiar with him. He heads a state government committee, and he was, in fact, instrumental in getting bipartisan support for the state's newly passed medical marijuana bill, which you supported. And Mr. Fulmer does say, quote, "No one should be fired because they are gay." But he says he is concerned. He's mentioned the concerns that we've discussed about the religious liberties. But he goes on to say, "I don't see the urgency here." This is an exact quote from Senator Fulmer. Quote, "I don't see the urgency here, at least not the same compared to the medical marijuana bill. No one is dying," end quote. When you hear something like this, what are the things that you do to present the urgency or to at least explain the situation to Mr. Fulmer, just in terms of, gee, Senator, if you lost your job or you couldn't find a place to live, you might see the urgency of the situation.
No, I mean, it's very clear. We know that people lose their jobs or denied access to housing, and those are really, those are life, meaningful life changing issues that affect the quality of life for the individual, their families. So in my view, it is a life and death decision. It's also something that if you take a look at what's happening in other states in North Carolina and Georgia, that is having really dramatic ramifications for their state economies as those states that are embracing intolerance, that are rejecting civil rights, these civil rights protections, are being basically punished by businesses who say, we're not going to invest in your state. We're not going to come to your state. And I think those are things that certainly Pennsylvania wants to avoid. And I think certainly if we adopt this type of legislation, those things will help promote our economy and jobs generally across the state.
If I might add a,
sure,
a statement,
Dr. Levine, go
is
ahead.
That it isn't true that no one's dying. You know, so at the same time that in Pennsylvania and in the country, we have made progress in terms of LGBT rights, marriage equality, the recent opinions and rules from the Obama administration. It's important to remember that 21 transgender individuals were murdered in 2015, and a particular group that's at risk are transgender women of color. And there have been probably 10 to 12 murders in the United States this calendar year. So it isn't exactly true that no one is dying. People, transgender individuals are at particular risk of violent crime. And then also transgender youth are also at particular risk of suicide. Statistics from the National Center of Transgender Equality indicate that 41% of transgender individuals at one time or another have attempted suicide. And we have way too many, particularly vulnerable youth, who take their own lives because of the harassment, the discrimination, and the bullying that we face. So this is a absolutely critical issue in Pennsylvania, as it is throughout the country.
And Dr. Levine, when you, I'm assuming you've had a chance to talk to some of these legislators, or at least individuals as you advocate mm-hmm. on behalf of transgender citizens of Pennsylvania. Have there been instances where you've been able to get through to somebody to say, hey, look, you know, just based on what you just mm-hmm. said here to us, that this is serious. People are being bullied and harassed physically and mentally, and they are dying in some cases as a result.
So, yes, we do try to highlight the significant importance of this issue in discussions with the legislature. I mean, I certainly had the opportunity to meet all the senators during my confirmation hearings, and at times this issue would come up, which would give me an opportunity to advocate for non-discrimination.
Have any of them ever said to you, okay, after hearing, you know, you express it in the way that you just did, okay, now I get it, or I need to think about this, or reconsider?
I think that actually they reconsidered when they unanimously confirmed me. so I'd like I would very much like the spirit with which they viewed my nomination to carry forth as they view this legislation.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we're talking with Dr. Rachel Levine, Pennsylvania's Physician General, also Representative Dan Frankel of Pittsburgh's 23rd District, about what is being done to advocate on behalf of transgender Pennsylvanians who face challenges when it comes to health care access, legal assistance, workplace discrimination. We're going to talk more about this, and we are going to take your calls at 412-246-2002. Now would be a good time to jump in as we go to break. Again, 412-246-2002. We'd like to hear from you. If you or someone you know is a transgender person, what challenges have you or they faced? Again, the number 412-246-2002. To ESSPGH at WESA.FM on Twitter at ESSPGH. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we are talking about the challenges faced by transgender Pennsylvanians. There are all sorts of challenges in day-to-day life that they face when it comes to healthcare access, legal assistance, workplace discrimination. There are several folks in the Commonwealth who are trying to address these issues through legislative action and resource allocation. And the guests that we have in studio today are also involved in a transgender rights discussion taking place in Pittsburgh today, which we'll give the details about, time permitting, as we get toward the end. With me in studio is Dr. Rachel Levine, Pennsylvania's Physician General, also Representative Dan Frankel of Pittsburgh's 23rd District. You can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. We'll start with Valerie in South Park. Valerie, hi, you're on Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi. Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just want to say that I listen every day, and I was just so completely outraged by the statement that you read from the Republican politician here in Pennsylvania a moment ago.
Senator Fulmer.
Feels no urgency to move on this issue. I had to call in because, you know, he's an elected official. He's charged with, you know, representing the Commonwealth and the citizens therein. And, you know, regardless of whether or not he agrees, disagrees, if he's not in any kind of hurry to give an entire group of people equal rights, then I think he's in the wrong line of business. I think it's very un-American, and I think you should say his name again, and I think everyone should remember when it's time to vote exactly how urgent he felt getting people their equal rights was not to him, was not an urgent matter. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Valerie. We appreciate that call. And, you know, this is Senator Fulmer's comments sum up the arguments that you face, Representative Frankel. But as you and also Dr. Levine have said, it sounds like the tide is turning and that most Pennsylvanians are realizing that this is something they want their legislators to do on their behalf and on behalf of all of the citizens of Pennsylvania.
Well, I agree. I mean, and it's evolved very quickly. I mean, you see how marriage equality evolved and support for equal rights for the LGBT community has pervasive support throughout Pennsylvania. Polling shows nearly 75% of Pennsylvanians support this legislation. It's in every single region of the state, conservative areas and liberal areas. So it's evolved. And I will say that the hearts and minds of legislators are changing. I mean, Senator Fulmer's position wasn't unique, but I think the fact that we have individuals like Dr. Levine, a transgender person there, helps make that case. And in the legislature, we've had a couple of openly gay members of the legislature who sit with their colleagues, and it helps, I think, make people feel more comfortable, understand the issue, and really get to know somebody in the community that they may not have had the opportunity to. So it is a process of evolution. I think we've all evolved to this place where we ought to be able to get this done.
Dr. Levine, what do you say, you know, as a health professional, as the state's physician general, what do you say to people who are afraid? And a lot of times fear comes from a lack of understanding, a lack of information. So when they hear that a school is trying to accommodate someone who, based on their gender identity, wants to use a particular bathroom, and they have concerns about that, they're afraid something bad is going to happen. What are the things that they should know? What should be told to them to help allay those fears?
Absolutely. I think you're right. I think that a lot of the negativity comes from fear and lack of understanding. So I think it's very important for us to continue to educate and advocate for LGBT and transgender individuals. So what I would say is that I understand that for most people in the world, that you might question many things in your life. You might question your family. You might question your parents. You might question your job. Question many things, but you don't question your gender. It's a fixed star in the universe for most people. But for transgender individuals, it's just not. That's not their experience. It has always seemed different than the way they grew up. And so I think that it's important to for us to educate people to try to understand that transgender individuals such as myself, we're just trying to lead our lives, do good works, raise our families, you know, and participate in our communities. And I think that public accommodations such as restrooms really pose absolutely no threat. And there's absolutely no evidence whatsoever that transgender individuals pose any type of threat to the public and the community. I mean, we're considering this legislation, but there are many other states in the country that have non-discrimination legislation that include gender identity and expression, and there are no reports of transgender individuals doing anything untoward in bathrooms or restrooms, etc. So I think that we would need to educate people and allay their fears and realize that this is really all about fairness. This is the right thing to do for non-discrimination and protection. And as Representative Frankel has pointed out, it's the smart thing to do in terms of business. You saw the amount of businesses that left North Carolina or decided they were not going to go to North Carolina. The artists and performers that refuse to perform there, it's the fair thing to do. It's the right thing to do, and it's good for the business and it's good for the state to pass comprehensive non-discrimination legislation that includes sexual orientation as well as gender identity and expression. And we'll continue to work and to educate people about this fairness.
412-246-2002. To join the conversation, also email ESSPGH at WESA.FM on Twitter at ESSPGH. Maria on Twitter says, transgender individuals encounter lack of affordable access to health care, and it's hard to find doctors who are in-network. Transgender isn't searchable on insurance websites.
So the Wolf administration is obviously a strong supporter of non-discrimination and transgender rights, including in terms of access to medical care. We have a non-discrimination statement by the insurance department that was released in the last month. We do have guidance from the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services for Medicaid in terms of how that insurance should go in covering transgender individuals and covering treatment. So we are making progress on that front. There's also, of course, guidance from the Obama administration about from Title IX in terms of schools. So we are working on many fronts in the Wolf administration and with many agencies on the implementation of these recommendations.
I understand, Dr. Levine, that there were certain legal hoops you had to jump through just in terms of trying to change your name.
That's correct. So in Pennsylvania, to change your name, you have to go to the county prothonotary's office and file paperwork to change your name. You have to go and get this is for anyone. You have to get fingerprinted by the state police. You have to actually place it in two newspapers in case you might have debt or whatever, and then you go before a judge to change your name. To change your driver's license, gender is actually relatively easy. All you need is a form from PennDOT signed by either a therapist or a physician to confirm the gender identity that you belong to, and then you can change your gender on your driver's license. There is basically pretty simple paperwork and letters that federally to change your Social Security and to change your passport. So, but to change your name is probably one of the hardest hoops to jump through.
Before we wrap up, I wanted to mention the transgender rights discussion at the Omni William Penn Hotel today. Dr. Levine, you're the keynote speaker. We're down to about 45 seconds or so, but you're the keynote speaker, and also Representative Frankel, you will be addressing folks there as well. Talk about what's happening here in the next 30 seconds or so.
Well, so I'm very pleased to be addressing the group. We'll be talking about the health disparities that we've been discussing here. We'll talk about the administration's work, the executive orders, the statement by the insurance department, guides for hospitals, work with the Department of Education and Corrections, and we'll be pleased to be speaking with Representative Frankel on the panel about all of these very important issues.
And Dan Frankel, just anything you'd like to add in the last 10 seconds or so?
No, it's been a pleasure being here with you, in particular with Dr. Levine, who I think is helping change this conversation.
Thank you so much.
Thank you both for being here. Dr. Rachel Levine, Physician General for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and Representative Dan Frankel. And again, they are both taking part in the transgender rights discussion at the Omni William Penn Hotel today. That's from 4 to 7, so you can go and still be home in time for the Penguins.
Very important.
Yes. Go Pens. Thank you for listening. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.